In the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be looking in Matthew chapter 28 as we look at the significance of the resurrection. You know, everywhere that Jesus went, there were crowds around him. Some came for other reasons. Some came because they were curious. Some came because they had to. Maybe some came because their family members drugged them there into the presence of Jesus. But the question that I ask you today is, why have you came? What are your reasons for coming to the house of the Lord? Have you come seeking Christ? My prayer is that today that God would speak to your heart, that He would speak to all of our hearts, and that His Word would draw us closer to Him. This morning we look at Matthew chapter 28, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 20 scattered throughout our message as we think about the resurrection, the significance of the resurrection, and the great significance that it holds in our world, and most importantly, the great significance that it holds in our lives today. This morning, I want to share with you interesting and often overlooked details of the resurrection story, which truly is the greatest story ever told. You see, because of Easter, the Easter season is particularly special because it was on Easter that the stone was rolled away. It was on Easter that the tomb was found empty, and because of Easter, our eternal hope and our eternal salvation can be assured. That is the significance of Christ's resurrection. You see, each holiday has its own special message, its own special message that it shares. For instance, the message of July 4th is a celebration of our nation's independence. The message of Memorial Day is a honoring and a remembrance of those men and women who died laying down their lives, paying the ultimate sacrifice for that freedom that we all hold dear. The message of Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ. The message of Good Friday is an observance of the death of Christ. But the message of Easter, the message of each Easter has hope and life intertwined within it. Because within the message of Easter, it is the story that the tomb was empty, that Jesus is risen indeed, and that is the great and eternal hope of our world. For the story of Jesus, some may call it nonsense. For the story of Jesus, some may consider it no count and insignificant. But for those of us who belong to Christ, for those of us who believe in the story of Jesus, no greater significance can be found than in the resurrection story. You see, for the believer this morning, there is no greater date, there's no greater hope, no greater gift, any more precious and any more significant than the Easter message. Because Christ arose, our sins can be forgiven. Because Christ arose, then our eternal hope can be secured. In the story of Matthew 28, we see some often overlooked facts of the resurrection story that bear repeating. First of all, this morning, we can see that that very first Easter morning was marked by supernatural activities. Look at verses 1 through 4 in Matthew 28. It says in verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So here we see some interesting and supernatural events that occurred on that Easter morning. First, we can see that there was a great earthquake. This was no ordinary earthquake. It was signified as a great or terrible earthquake, one of extreme intensity. Interestingly, the same thing happened 3 days earlier when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, Matthew chapter 27 shares with us the account that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, signifying that we now have direct access to God through Christ Jesus. That the earth quaked, that the rocks were rent, that the graves were opened, and the saints of God that lay in those graves got up and walked around. So a great earthquake occurred at Christ's death, and a great earthquake now occurs at Christ's resurrection. We could say this morning that Jesus surely has a way of shaking things up. And so we see that Jesus here, this earthquake that occurs, and then also in verse 2, something else happened. An unexpected visitor meets Mary of Magdalene and Mary of James there at the tomb of Jesus. This unexpected visitor, this angel of the Lord, descends down, rolls the stone away, and sits atop of the stone with the Roman soldiers trembling in fear, and has a message for Mary and the other Mary as they arrive there at the tomb. You see, this angel that descended down and rolled the stone away in order for the world to see an empty tomb. In order for everyone that would gather there to see that Jesus was indeed not there. You see, no earthly grave, no earthly power could keep God down. Not even death could hold Jesus in the grave. You see, He was victorious. This was His ultimate victory. And every life that continues to be touched and changed by the power of God is another victory in Christ Jesus. You see, the stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could get out. This angelic visit was not a rescue attempt seeking to rescue Jesus who was trapped in a tomb. So this stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could get out, but so that all the world could look in and see that indeed Jesus was not there, that He was risen indeed. Then there were the frightened soldiers. There was the earthquake. There was the angel that descended and rolled the stone away and gave the message to Mary and the other Mary. But then there were the frightened soldiers. These soldiers had been placed there to ensure that no one tampered with the body, so that no one could steal the body and make a wild claim that Jesus had risen. They had sealed the tomb, not only with this great stone, but they stamped it with the governor's seal, and they placed these Roman soldiers there. And these Roman soldiers stood vigil over this tomb day and night, 24-hour vigil. But then these Roman soldiers were hardened, battle-hardened, rough, tough men that knew no fear. They were fearless. Nothing feared them. But then in verse 4, it says that these soldiers were overcome with fear. They were shaking in their boots. They were literally scared to death. The Bible says they became scared as dead men. They were literally scared to death. Why? Because they had never seen anything like this before. You see, when God shows up, disbelievers of God, enemies of God, tremble in fear. Even Satan trembles at the very mention of Jesus' name. But for the child of God, there's no name sweeter in the name of Jesus. So you see, there were supernatural events that occurred that day. Unexplainable, spectacular events that occurred on this very first Easter morning, on this resurrection morning. But we can also see this morning that first Easter morning was marked by a startling announcement. Look at verse 5 through 8. It says, "The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word." So here we see that this angel had come, but this angel had come to bring glad tidings of great news. Just as an angel come to bring the great news of Jesus' birth, here an angel has come to bring the great news of Jesus' resurrection. Notice that even though the soldiers were fearful, the angel tells Mary and Mary to fear not. Don't be afraid. I've brought you great news. You see, just as God speaks fear into the hearts of unbelievers, He speaks peace into the hearts of those who love Him and into those that are His children. Here, this radical announcement by this angel defies reason. The angel says in one account, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here." The angel says, "Jesus is not here. He is risen." Then the angel goes on and basically, I'm paraphrasing, he says, don't take my word for it. In verse 6, come and see for yourself. Come examine the evidence. Come and see the empty tomb. And then notice in verse 5, the angel says, I know you've come seeking Jesus. I know you're seeking Jesus. I know you've come looking for the Lord. I wonder this morning, why is it that we've come? What is our purpose for coming to the house of God? God's word tells us to seek Him. He says, seek you first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. It says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. So we are told to seek the Lord while He may be found. So the angel's message was threefold to Mary and Mary. The angel says, fear not. The angel says, come and see. And then in verse 7, the angel says, go and tell. Go and tell the good news. Go and share the good news that Jesus is risen. This is too powerful, too special, too significant, too important a message to keep to yourself. Go and tell the good news. And Jesus today invites all the world to come to Him, to come and taste of His goodness, to come and see that He is able to change lives, and then go and share the good news of His life-changing power today. So we see this morning that very first Easter was marked by supernatural, unexplainable activities that only God could bring about. That very first Easter message was wrought by an angelic message proclaiming that He is not here. He is not in the tomb. He is risen indeed. And then also we can see that first Easter morning was marked by a superb appearance. Look at verses 9 and 10. Just when Mary and Mary couldn't think that this could get any better, then the impossible happens. In verse 9 it says, as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and they worshipped Him. And then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. There they shall see me. What a wonderful appearance by the Lord to Mary and Mary. If there were any doubt in their mind, if they could somehow dismiss seeing this angel, if they could somehow dismiss the message that the angel had given them, if they could somehow dismiss an empty tomb where only Jesus' grave clothes lay, they could not dismiss a visit by their Lord. Could you imagine how emboldened and how excited they were as they traveled there to that grave very early in the pre-dawn hours with somber and heavy hearts? And then they arrive and they see all of these miraculous events unfold. And now as they run to tell the disciples, they get to see Jesus Himself. And they fall and they worship at His feet. These women had experienced a truly extraordinary event. This angel had appeared to them, had rolled the stone away, had shared with them this spectacular message, telling them to not be afraid, to come and see that the Lord is risen, and then to go and tell the disciples that He is alive forevermore. And then just as an angel appeared at the Lord's birth, announcing His birth, here an angel of the Lord appears at His resurrection, announcing that He is risen to bring good news to all who seek Him. And then Christ shows up. Now, these women were the very first eyewitnesses of the resurrected Lord. They were the very first evangelists, if you will, to go and tell that Jesus had risen, that He had indeed been resurrected. And then as they ran to tell the good news, Jesus Himself appears to them. He shows Himself to them. But notice what He does when He shows up. Jesus re-emphasizes the message that the angel had already given them. He re-emphasizes that message. You see, there is never contradiction. There's never confusion. There's never conflict or strife in God's message, only confirmation. God is not the author of confusion or chaos. When the Lord gives us a message, He only reconfirms to us the message that He has given us in His Word and in our hearts, as He did here with these women. These women didn't just get to hear about a risen Savior. They didn't get to just see an empty tomb and wonder about a risen Savior. Here now in verses 9 and 10, they get to actually see a risen Savior. So there were three layers of confirmation here. There was the angel's message. There was the tomb's empty evidence. And then there was the uncountable Christ appearance to them. And then we have three layers of confirmation in our lives today. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And we have our prayers to God. And God will never lead us to do anything in prayer that is contrary to His Word. You see, answers to our prayer will only reconfirm what the Word says to us, what the Word of God, what the Holy Scriptures say to us. So here Jesus shows up and He reconfirms with His appearing what the angel had already told them. To go and tell the good news, to go tell the disciples. And we know that Jesus would appear, the resurrected Lord would go ahead and He would meet those disciples in Galilee. He would show Himself to them. He would show Himself to some 500 others and He would tarry with them for some 40 days as the resurrected Savior. And then we can also see that first Easter was marked by suspicious activity. You see, anytime God is up to something, Satan is going to be in the middle of it, trying to mess things up. But look at verses 11 through 15. Verse 11 says, "Now when they were going to tell the good news, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were told. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. So here we see in these verses the makings of a cover-up, the makings of a conspiracy. You see, Satan always wants to cover up. Satan always wants to distort the truth of God. He always wants to place doubt in our hearts, in our minds, as to thus saith the Lord. That's what we see happening here. These leaders were plotting to cover up the resurrection, to sweep it under the rug so that there wouldn't be some sort of uprising. The greatest event in human history, and there were those that were opposed to it. You see, anytime God is moving and working, then there will be those that are opposed to what God is doing. Anytime in our world when God is at work, there will be those that will be against it. So if the world opposed Jesus, then we can rest assured that the world will oppose those followers of Christ as well. And then notice, when word got around of the empty tomb of a risen Savior, some were looking for an excuse not to believe. Some were looking for an excuse to doubt. And you know what? Many continue to look for reasons to doubt and reasons to disbelieve and discount the story of a risen Savior even today. There are even those among the faith, those among the church today that doubt God, that doubt God's ability to work in our lives, that doubt the Word of God, that doubt the story that the Scriptures give us, that doubts that God can forgive and God can heal and God can save and God can do miracles, that doubt that God can be God. There are those today that doubt. Interestingly, even Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, doubted. He doubted when word got to him of a risen Savior, he doubted that Christ could arise. He said, "I won't believe unless I can see the Lord, unless I can see His pierced hands and His pierced feet." See, Thomas was a rational thinker that can only trust in what his natural world could see. And it was hard for him to take that leap of faith, but yet then Christ appeared to him. Christ showed up and revealed Himself to Thomas. Christ showed Thomas what Thomas's mind could not explain to him. And Jesus says, "See, Thomas, see that it's me. See my wounds, touch my wounds and see that I'm here." You see, sometimes we have to step out on faith and we have to trust that we have to look around our world and see that God is at work so that we can see God and we can reach out by faith and trust in Him. So we see this morning that there are but two choices regarding the resurrection story. We can either believe truth. We can believe the truth of the word and believe that Jesus indeed rose from the dead, or we can deny truth and believe a lie and discount the word of God. But there's but only one choice that leads to life today, and that is through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then finally this morning, we can see that this resurrection morning was marked by a specific agenda. Jesus showed up and he had a message. He had an agenda to fulfill. He had a message to share. In verses 16 through 20, we see this message that Jesus gave. Verse 16 says, "The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." How elated the disciples must have been. It was like old times. They were reunited with their Lord. They were once again able to enjoy being in His presence. They were once again able to receive those words of life that continue to change and touch countless of thousands and thousands of lives even today. Then in verse 19, Jesus issues the Great Commission. This is still the commission that carries the church today. He tells them in verse 19 to go and to teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's saying to them, go and share the old story. Go and tell the story of Jesus. And so here we see that just as the enemy was working to stop God's story, working to stop God's truth and God's word, here Jesus is instructing his church to go forth with God's truth and to advance God's kingdom. And we are to continue in that endeavor today and every today until our Lord calls us home. And then perhaps the most comforting part of Christ's message is found in verse 20. Jesus is saying here in verse 20, he says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." What a precious reminder today of all of us, regardless of what you may be going through today, regardless of what you may be facing in your life, regardless of what you may be feeling in your life, Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." This is a precious reminder that regardless of what we're going through, God's presence is with us. He says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He walks with us even through the valley of the shadow of the death. Our Lord is there with us. This is a reminder that greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Did you get that? Lay down. You see, no one took our Lord's life. He willingly and lovingly laid his life down for you and I. You see, Christ died on the cross not for someone else. Christ died on the cross for you. And he's saying here in verse 20, "I am with you always, even to the very end." What blessed hope that we have this morning. And our hope comes not from the things of this world. Our hope comes not from our circumstances. Our hope comes not from what tomorrow holds. But our blessed hope this morning comes from who holds tomorrow. You see, He is risen. He is risen indeed. We don't serve a defeated God. And because He arose, we too can arise this morning. In other words, because He arose, we can arise out of our despair. We can arise out of our sinfulness, out of our shamefulness, out of our doubtfulness, and we can stand on God's eternal and unshaking truth. Because He arose, we can arise. We can blossom and bloom like the Easter lily with the sweetest of fragrance, because Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. And that truly is the significance of the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't just die on the cross for us, but you who died also rose again. And because you rose again, Lord, we have the opportunity of forgiveness of sin. We have the opportunity of eternal life and salvation. Your word says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we could be saved
but the name of Christ Jesus. Father, today we call upon you. We pray that you would increase our faith. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to walk with you. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, you died for them. You rose again for them so that they could be forgiven and so that they could be saved and have an eternal home in heaven. Lord, during this time of invitation, would you speak to our hearts? Would you draw us closer to yourself? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.